Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome. welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we'll have Amanda joining us here momentarily. And we do have a guest today. We will have Kilgore Rand from IDoNotComply.org. So he'll be joining us here in about 20 or so minutes. And if you have anything to share, feel free to call in. The number here is 319-527-6208 and press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. All right, so let's go ahead and bring Amanda in here, and let's see what she's up to. Welcome in, Amanda.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm adequate. What have you been working on?
Well, you know, I downloaded some pictures, and do you think I can find them? So I've been searching my computer for the last half an hour. It can be that difficult, but they're lost. I'm sure they'll, you know, Mercury's in retrograde. You heard what that does to your electronics?
Yeah, I know all about that stuff, yes.
So I'm going to blame it on that. Mercury is in retrograde.
It's in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Somewhere.
It's funny that if I try to download the pictures again, that's where they'll show up usually, is in that folder.
You'd think so, but it's just telling me that the download link has expired. So that's not helpful. So, yeah, it's just a random thing.
See,
I'm sure it'll show up.
Everything I have automatically goes to a download file, and then I move it from there.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but that's not showing up for me. So I don't know. I'm going to keep looking. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now after a busy day of work and
eating. Yeah, it's not like
the
old days where you could say, check in the kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, the old days where your pictures were on film and you had to take it to the local drugstore and wait for, you know, a week before you got them back.
Did it take that long? I remember same day.
Oh. Yeah, I remember having to wait. You'd have to drop them off, and I guess maybe it depended on, like, what day of the week you drop them off, but it was definitely not same day for me as a child. It's all good. It'll show up. But, yeah.
So I know what would be showing up, though, is the Ministry of Truth. That got shot down today.
Oh, yeah? What's going on with that?
Well, you know that was supposed to be a thing, right? And it did not have the Democrat support that they were hoping it would. Because you can't call something the Ministry of Truth if that's in the 1984 book legitimately called the Ministry of Truth. They were treating it like the book, 1984 book was an owner's manual. And it didn't get any support because nobody wants to be known as people stealing information from a book that's supposed to be fiction.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Supposed to be fiction. But we know. We know what they're up to.
So
I think they do look at these books like playbooks. What's that?
The new liar in chief, and I don't even remember her name, but she's bragging about the fact that she's black, gay, and an immigrant, so her words are gospel. But there's a quick thing between Peter Doocy and her, and believe it or not, they're trying to say the reason why the Ministry of Truth is not happening, it's because of disinformation.
Oh, I see.
So disinformation is what's shutting down the disinformation board.
I was just going to say something very similar.
So this is about a minute. I'll just play this real quick so you can see what we're working with.
So if it's popping because you think the board was mischaracterized, then the disinformation board is being shut down because of disinformation? Is that what's happening here?
Look, I mean, the board was put forth for a purpose, right, to make sure that we really did really did address what was happening across the country when it came to disinformation.
And it's okay
it's going to pause. There's been a mischaracterization from outside forces, and so now what we're going to do is we're going to pause it, and we're going to do an assessment. But the work doesn't stop. We're still going to continue the work. The DHS is still going to continue the work.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know how that's going to work because the lady that they had as CEO, she quit when they told her that her position will be on hold until further notice. So she just said, I'll quit.
Interesting. Well, we know any time that they say a ministry of truth or anything about truth, we're going to take it with a grain of salt every time. Because it doesn't matter who says it in their group. The truth from them, no matter what, is going to be corrupted.
Well, the thing is that when you have the lowest approval rating in the history of any president ever, you can't just blame everybody that supported the past president. That's not something you can do anymore.
Right.
And so they're trying. I just think it's hilarious and sad at the same time because our taxpayer money went to this. Do you know that they had a board for 6 months that worked hard on trying to miscategorize, if you will, fans of Trump because it was no longer popular? It's not cool to keep blaming Trump, and they know that, because Trump is more favorable than Brandon. So,
right, and weren't they the extremists?
Well, that's where I'm trying to go here. So they spent 6 months and millions of taxpayer dollars to come up with the alleged slang term ultra MAGA. So Brandon keeps using that. All the Democrats are starting to use the ultra MAGA crowd because you can't blame stuff on Trump, but they want to, just like a certain female presidential candidate from 2016 that shall never be named here on the network, that particular pronoun tried to call us a basket of deplorables.
Uh-huh.
And it backfired. And they're so used to the spineless Republicans when the Democrats will, like Chuck Schumer will tell the Democrats, if you don't follow my plan, I'm going to call all of you a racist in the media. And so
right,
the Republicans fold up and say, no, we don't want to be called racist. We'll give you whatever you want. But they can't do that to the American public. The American public doesn't squish that easy.
Yeah.
So for us,
exactly,
many of us are proud of being ultra MAGA.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, there is 0% liberal inside me.
Well, I would assume so, considering your radio show is Freedomizer.
Right.
Doesn't get more non-liberal than that. And that's the thing, they spend that much time and energy, and all they come up with is ultra MAGA. I mean, what they're
saying
is make America great again.
They spent millions of taxpayer dollars on that when, if I really wanted to try, I could come up with something as a former stand-up comic. Give me an hour, and I'll have you a new tagline to go after somebody.
Yeah, and probably a lot more interesting and clever than that, because they're typically just really reiterating the saying, the message, make America great again. That's, that was always a legitimate.
Yeah, you fools just want to make America great. That's a bad thing.
Exactly. So, yeah, wear that title with pride. I hope they're happy that, not that clever, but hey, we'll take it and run with it.
Well, when your approval rating is depending on the poll, anywhere from 28% to 32%, and your vice president is somewhere between 14% and 16%, there's no room on the agenda to mock the over half of America that does not like you, and I'm just being nice with that.
Mhm. Right.
So if you have more enemies than you do friends, you're not going to influence people by by making angry the crowd that does not like what you're doing. What you do is you have to make things better. You just don't blame people and keep going on your agenda. They're very that way.
Yeah, good point.
Tone deaf and following orders.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say something very similar to following orders. But we see what they're doing. It's just a matter of standing in line and taking their orders and fulfilling their orders. And it's not, there's not really a lot of, I guess, independent thought in that crowd, sadly.
Well, if you look at it, though, Brandon is doing an excellent job. And I'm not being funny here. He's doing an excellent job. It's just that His Excellency is not working for the American people. His Excellency is working towards special interest, China, and Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as Brandon appeals to those Twitter people who said they're commie as F, then his job is done. And it doesn't matter that that's not what the American public wants. But his small sector of people want that. So therefore, that works, and he's successful to those people, but not towards mainstream America.
Right. But it doesn't matter what mainstream America wants anyway. It just doesn't matter anymore. It's all about those who are in control and what they're trying to accomplish. And they all are just patting each other on the back. Well done. Job well done. Now let's see how much more chaos we can create and then blame it on someone else.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Project Veritas stuff. If not, I could play it later. But
oh yeah,
you
definitely
play
it. I haven't seen
it. Executive mocking people with Asperger's and autism, and saying that Twitter's not here to make profits. On camera, he's saying that.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, I hadn't seen yet.
I'm sure those shareholders are real happy about the sale maybe being a quarter of what it was.
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk can go back and say, see, it's not about making money.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, I'd love to hear that. You'll have to play it for us for sure tonight.
Our guest is going to be on in about 6 minutes. So
is he going to fill us in on his nonprofit? I don't know if I've ever heard of this organization before you had sent me the link, so I'm very
fascinated.
He's been
coming on since COVID, so about 2 years. He comes in about once a month.
Oh, excellent.
So idonotcomply.org.
Yeah, that's excellent. I see that he is focuses on small businesses, and I think that's wonderful because it was a small business that was, I guess, hit the hardest with all of the stupid restrictions as far as businesses go. I mean, of course, we know that Walmart and Costco and all of them could stay open, but the little mom and pop store had to shut down.
Right, and then you have places like New York State who are expected any day now to announce that they're going to go back to scam dates.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, now it's just a very, 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 very recommended practice, but it's not like the governor went up onto a podium and declared it her law, which we know it's not law, but I'm just saying.
Right. When they stand up and give their edicts over their pulpit, it sounds like law to the uneducated soul.
Right.
Huh. Wow. And
so
what's the excuse this time?
And
I mean, I guess...
Then you know, a lot of the other Democrat states will follow, which is going to be weird because some of these Democrat states, the governors are having to run for re-election. So how are you expecting to have a crowd of people flock to you when you're doing something that is insanely and wildly unpopular as forcing scams on people's faces?
Uh-huh. For real.
And maybe in New York you can get away with that. But that's a close race right there between the Democrat and Republican governors in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those other ones, like here in Nevada, our Governor Shitzak, if he tries that, he's already falling behind a couple of the Republican people that are running for governor. And if he dared try another scam date, he's already losing.
Mm-hmm.
People are tired of scams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those that are still wearing them don't care. They'll wear them forever. But the average person on the street does not like wearing scams, and I don't care. I don't care how liberal your city is. If you don't have to wear a scam, the average person will not. I'm not saying you won't see them, and they may be common, but you're not going to see more people wearing scams than not when they don't have to.
Right.
I don't care if you're Midtown Manhattan. If you have 100 people walking down the street, 70 of them will not wear scams if they don't have to.
Yeah. Well, I know that a lot of people wore them back in the first days because they just, you know, better safe than sorry, and just didn't want to make other people uncomfortable and all the different excuses. And if they still are telling themselves that lie, then they deserve to self-suffocate. I have little sympathy for people who choose to do that to themselves, and I really don't like to see it, people do it to their children. That bothers me.
Yeah, I don't know which way this will go, because they could just get everybody that wore them before, they're like, well, I knew it was going to happen, I'll just put it on. So it could be easier, or people stand up and say, I'm tired of this, we did this for 2 years, and it didn't work. So it could go either way, but if everybody just lays down, obviously it's going to be much harder.
Yes, exactly. And I hope they've learned their lesson. I was trying to think of the name of the gym that stayed open and ended up with thousands and thousands of dollars of fines. Are you following that story? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was – yes, I haven't seen anything from them. I follow them on Instagram. I wondered how – able to settle the case, or are you familiar with it, what's happened?
I'm trying to remember what happened, because I remember they got raided after a judge found them not guilty, or the judge sided with the gym owner, right after they got raided by the feds, and I don't know exactly from there what happened.
Oh, I hadn't heard that about that. Interesting.
We did go around Christmas time to the famous restaurant in Huntington Beach that I can't remember the name of. But they fought the state of California and won.
That's the Silico's.
Yes.
The Silico's. It's an Italian restaurant. Yes, I remember the name of that place. Yeah, and I'm glad they were adamant about it, too. You did not come into their facility at all with a scam on your face, not even anything pretending to be a scam.
Correct.
Yeah, that was legit.
Yeah, I had the Chopino. Go ahead.
What's that?
I had the Chopino over there.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was just going to say the good news is
that... That was excellent.
Yes. Well, hey, you know, you can find some good Italian that's vegan, believe it or not. It is possible. Some restaurants are really cool about, you know, just doing like a basic marinara sauce and noodles and that sort of thing. You can work your way around if you know a place well enough.
Well, I was just saying the Chopito, I know you that won't be your thing, but it was definitely mine.
No. Understood. And I was just going to say the good news is I found the pictures I was looking for.
Okay.
They're in a file. There we go.
And we also found the guest we're looking for, too. So
good.
We're going to grab our time out, and then Kilgore will be on after the break.
All right.
All right, so we'll be right back, everyone.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot as Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up. Talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clover, with our four leaves, we bask in blue sky. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Maxtreme Sports was founded to make the healthy even more healthy and to prevent disease. When one is sick, it makes life hard. Maxtreme products are an excellent, great-tasting way for optimal health. During the pandemic, we found ingredients that were the most effective for fending off the virus. Maxtreme Prevent contains vitamin C, D3, zinc, and quercetin. If zinc is present in the cells, viruses and bacteria will not be able to live. Quercetin is a zinc ionospore. It increases the effects of zinc in the cell. Quercetin has strong antiviral properties, and taking quercetin with zinc pushes the zinc into the center of cells where the zinc can stop viruses from reproducing. These products have very simple ingredients. Nothing that is not needed is added. Non-GMO, no sugar, no calories, made in the USA, sweetened with monk fruit, and only the highest quality ingredients are used. Get yours today. MaxtremeSports.com. MaxtremeSports.com. That is MaxtremeSports.com.
Okay. One more time. This is your foot. This is shoes. This is your foot in shoes.
I can't move.
Any questions?
This public service announcement brought to you by Zero Shoes. Feel the freedom, feel the fun, feel the world in Zero Shoes.
Hello to all you nincompoops and something luckers out there. I am the Wiretap. I am here to represent Eisenacher Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all you 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in a Wuhan laboratory, but you are not dying fast enough. So we now have Eisenacher suicide pods. You can now rush out and die in our suicide pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, grey or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your rashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne Complete Zebra. We will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That they do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Eisenacher suicide pod. Thank you.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
We have from IDoNotComply.org, we have Kilgore Rand joining us here. So welcome to the fun here, sir.
Thanks for having me, Proof. Always a pleasure.
No, well, thank you for thanking me. So I think we missed last month, but I was trying to tell Amanda as much as I could about what you've done for the last 2 years. We, at Barefaces Legal and I Do Not Comply, started at basically about the same time.
Yeah, it's been a wild couple of years, you know. I started I Do Not Comply in July of 2020, and we were one of the first groups that I know of that, you know, founded and started organizing against this biosecurity new normal that we've been fighting against with the masks and the vax mandates and so forth for the past 2 years.
Yeah, well, you know, I started the Barefaces Legal in April of 2020, so we've been on the same trajectory. But you've gone far and beyond more than what I've done.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but I appreciate the, I appreciate
well,
you saying that, but
I everywhere. So,
well, you know, so we, go
ahead.
Oh,
tie
I
goes to the guest,
say,
so go ahead.
Okay, tie goes to the guest, I dig it. It's wild, you know, we find ourselves 2 years into this scam, and I'm here in Georgia. Today it was 88 degrees, 100% humidity. Anybody that's familiar with Georgia, like, we only have spring and fall. Spring and fall only lasts for about 2 weeks, and then it's either summer or winter. And, so today it's 88 degrees, super hot. I'm at the grocery store, and I see a lady standing in the hot Georgia sun. She has a cloth mask on, and the mask reads, "Faith over fear." And I just thought to myself, you know, I've seen it all now. I've seen it all.
Is that the definition of irony? Or is that just the definition of stupidity?
That's a brilliant question, Amanda. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I find it very pathetic if that's what I was if I was to describe that, I would say pathetic, because that is, it's the opposite, faith over fear, and she is showing us where her faith is.
I'm looking at her, right? The sun's beating down on us. We're in the parking lot of this grocery store. I look at her. I read the inscription on her mask. She looks back at me, her eyes locked, and I'm just looking at her dumbfounded, like, what is going on here? I have so many questions. Like, do these words have no meaning to you? Like, what is the faith that you were putting over fear? What is that faith? You're literally afraid of air. So, like, what is going on here? I mean, if you believe in God and that's what your faith is in, I mean, can you not trust that he's going to protect you out in sunshine and air from the boogeyman virus?
Yeah, so if this lady
so many questions,
let's just say this lady was 50 years old. So
yeah.
It wasn't like she was born with a scam. So what did she do the other 48 years?
You know, she probably was, I would say she was probably in her late 50s to early 60s.
Yeah.
Gauging, but, you know, from what I could tell. So it's just so many questions. You know, but we live in a time now where logic and reason are in a deficit. And it's so hard to, you know, like words don't have the meaning that they used to have. For a lot of people, they could just take the dictionary and just throw it away. They don't know what woman means. They don't know what man means. They don't know what gender means. They don't know what science means. So there's a good swath of the population. It seems like they don't even need the dictionary or words or, you know, the English language.
Which I find hilarious. I don't know if you heard us just talking before you joined us, but they spent 6 months and millions of taxpayer dollars to come up with a slam against their political adversaries, and that's called Ultra MAGA.
Oh, man. It's all being engineered.
Because Brandon uses
that's
Ultra MAGA in every single speech he says now, trying to use that as a slam against us. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not exactly Trump's biggest fan, but I will be MAGA a million times more before I'll ever even consider being a liberal.
Everything that we're seeing right now is just all social engineering, right? Like we saw the virus kind of out of thin air. Like in my opinion, you know, COVID is like the greatest marketing scam of all time. It's the greatest case of the emperor has no clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
But everyone's been conditioned to be like, this is the deadliest thing ever. But where are the bodies? Like, why is it like literally 2 years later? I don't know anyone that died of the virus, but I know people that have killed themselves because of, you know, losing their network through lockdowns or the divisive politics of COVID, or they OD'd, or they died, or they died because they got the jab,
and then they died after getting their injections in the hospital.
No,
so they did not go to the hospital with COVID, but they died from COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to me, though, that like the lady I saw wearing the mask, that read faith over fear, there's a certain percentage of the population that's so far gone, like there's nothing that's going to bring them to the light. Like there's no... there's no smoking gun. There's no scientific study, peer-reviewed study that's going to show them that they've been scammed. I mean, at this point, people have been triple and quadruple jabbed. They've been wearing a mask. They've isolated themselves from their family, and they're still testing positive for COVID.
And not just that, but they're blaming Trump for the gas prices somehow.
You know, I don't even know. Like, the normies I encounter, they just blame the gas prices on the things that I feel like they've been conditioned to blame it on, which is, like, COVID. And then somehow, like, Ukraine. You know, like the normies are already blaming the coming food shortages on the war in Ukraine. And it's all Russia's fault, right? it's interesting because you can see the propaganda and what it's being put out as, but when you encounter somebody that actually like buys into it, and like then you hear their response of like how they took in that propaganda and what they regurgitate back, then you realize like what the real message of the propaganda was. And what I'm seeing is, you know, all of this is socially engineered. The war in Ukraine, the coming food shortages, the baby formula shortage, the Roe versus Wade, you know, being threatened, being overturned. All of this is social engineering. None of this is happening organically.
Couldn't agree more.
And the sad reality is, you know, it's like, what can we do to stop it, you know, other than, like, bring awareness to it and try to, like, wake people up and say, stop listening to the mainstream media. Turn your TV off. Like, if you're hungry for news, go to listen to Proof Negative show. Go on Freedomizer Radio. Go to The Last American Vagabond. Go to The Defender on Children's Health Defense. Listen to James Corbett. Like, get off of Fox and Apple News and CNN and all this other, you know, garbage MSN coverage, because it's all pushing the same narrative.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I'm not going to say don't listen to Tucker Carlson, but the rest of Fox, and Laura Ingraham I like, but the rest of it can go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on both of those. And I know a lot of people accuse Tucker all the time of being controlled opposition. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the jury's out on that. I think Tucker's been doing great work this entire time. If you take it for face value,
I mean, there's only so many times you can knock people. I've been called controlled opposition. It's like I don't have anybody else that pays me. I mean, I'm going back to a day job next week in addition to doing Freedomizer. So if I was a Russian agent, I'm sure I would be getting another paycheck.
Oh, dude, I mean, that's the thing, is they sow so much distrust, and maybe it's because people fall in this rabbit hole where, like, they start questioning the mainstream outlets, and then they just question everything. But I've had the same accusations leveled against me, you know. In the past 2 years, I've had everyone from, you know, I'm here in Georgia, and I've had, like, prominent voices in the medical freedom movement here accuse me of being controlled opposition. You know, say that, like, I'm a CIA operative, I'm an Antifa infiltrator from the West Coast that's here to infiltrate and, you know, destroy the movement and get everyone arrested. And at the same time, I've had Antifa come after me and literally dox my home address and come after me and come after my business and my endeavor, you know, my personal, and come after my family. So I hear you, man. I felt it on every side. So I don't like just throw around the controlled opposition willy-nilly because, yeah, they throw that at any of us that are out there doing something.
So can I ask what the reasoning was to call you controlled op? I've heard it so many times against people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Dale Bigtree, and I'm just curious what were their foundations for saying that against you? Or did
I don't think any good, like, real reasonable foundation to level that against me. But I think what happened was, you know, I lived in Georgia for a good decade, and then I'd moved to Los Angeles, and I was living in L.A. when COVID happened. And L.A. was one of the first places to lock down. They were arresting people for going to the beach.
Right.
And, you know, my whole life I've been anti-authoritarian. I've always been for bodily autonomy, for personal choice. I've always been kind of anti-government and skeptical of the official narrative and of mainstream media. And so when COVID happened, I was like, this is either going to be this really is like contagion or outbreak where 1 in 10 people are going to die and we're going to see bodies piled in the street, or this is an authoritarian takeover. This is the new world order. And it turned out, you know, it was the latter of those two things. And I kind of saw that very quickly. So me and my wife fled Los Angeles, and we came back to Georgia where we had lived previously. And I started connecting with freedom-minded people, and I felt like, you know, I connected with an old friend of mine, and we talked about, like, how we have to do something. We you know, nobody's doing anything. And we had one of the first protests at the CDC in August of 2020. And we had Kevin Jenkins from Urban Global Health Alliance come in, and he gave an impassioned speech. We had, you know, other kind of physicians like Dr. Eric Plasker, who was a chiropractor here in Atlanta, speak. And it was a good, you know, it was just like the first real connection of people in Georgia protesting this stuff. And what I realized was I was trying so hard to get this thing moving and off the ground, that these people that had been kind of part of the anti-vax movement, if you want to call it that, or the medical freedom movement, I didn't reach out to them. I didn't know who they were. And so they felt very slighted. We're like, who is I Do Not Comply? Why are they doing rallies? And why weren't we invited? And I was like, I didn't even know who they were. You're like, I just was like, I knew the people I knew, and that's it. And, like, we just wanted to take action, and we tried to put it out there. Like, we didn't kiss anyone's butt, you know. We didn't send any, like, you know, rose-sealed, wax-stamped invitations, like, please come to this rally, be a part of this. We didn't know those people. We were just functioning out of a place of necessity, and the feeling that somebody needed to take action, and nobody else was, so we were going to do that. And we created I Do Not Comply because of that. And we also filed one of the first lawsuits against government overreach. You know, we are still suing the governor, even though I know Brian Kemp is not – he's of the worst governors in this country when it comes to Newsom and Cuomo and all these other tyrants over the past 2 years. But he's still locked down the state for 2 months. He still put a shelter-in-place order. He still issued an executive order sharing – Georgian private vaccine medical records with the federal government. He did that as a conservative Republican governor, and so we sued him for it. And we're still in the Court of Appeals now. In the process of that, to answer your question, we kind of peeved people off. Because we didn't know who they were. There's a lot of people, I think, just in any kind of activism, that, like, there's a lot of ego, and there's a lot of, like, their reputation, and it's their territory, and we didn't know that, and we didn't really kiss their butt along the way, and as a result, like, I think they've leveled accusations against us as a result, because they felt threatened, like we were encroaching on their territory or something. Because sadly, even though we're in the fight for our rights and our humanity, in the future of humanity, there's still, like, ego and territory and propriety and all these things that, you know, that are normal human traits that are coming into play. Anyway, sorry. That was a long-winded way to answer your question.
No, that was perfect. Thank you. That really explains a lot to me, because I'm in the health freedom movement in Utah. So I live in southern Utah and moved here from northern Utah. And that makes a difference for people in Utah to know, because we almost have two states in one. We have the northern end and the southern end. And coming from the northern end of the health freedom, the activists, the different rallies that we have participated in, if you're familiar with Robin Openshaw, she's kind of a strong voice in this, and she's in Florida now, but she's from Utah. She organized some big rallies, and we had a governor very similar to yours who's supposed to be ultra-conservative and still went through all the lockdowns and just pretty much all the similar scandemic behaviors, and no one was taking any action. And of course, we do come from, say, like the anti-vaccine field, so we have been trying to educate, I guess you'd say it that way, or at least trying to get the word out about vaccines for many years, having health conferences and whatnot, but, you know, during 2020, it just was obvious to like, yourself and those of us in the movement that the government was obviously just they're locking down so they can take over. You know, it's tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so the difference between the two, I guess, to say the two areas in Utah, I've noticed that in the southern end of Utah, now that we're here, that we are very, I guess, open to lots of ideas and communication with people and are looking to always, you know, have people come speak or to, I guess, highlight something that would be beneficial for the movement and the cause. So we've had Del Bigtree come, and we've had Judy Mikovits and a few other people. And although some of my views differ from theirs, it's really great to have the bigger names, like, if you want to look at it that way, to bring a focus to that here in southern Utah and to, I guess, get the word out to people and educate. And so we are just becoming a 501c as well. I was curious what you noticed becoming a 501c. You said you're 501c, right?
Yes,
your organization.
We are. And the main reason we did that was to raise money for our lawsuit against the governor.
Okay.
Because
because then
people's donors' donations would be tax exempt. So if somebody wants to give thousands of dollars, that's something that they can write off at the end of the year when tax time comes around.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And that's basically why I was asking you, getting the donations to put toward things like lawsuits or actually making changes. So in southern Utah, very few scams on faces. Every once in a while, I mean, I see maybe two out of the hundreds of people I come in contact with every day. And I'm a school teacher, and none of us wear it and never have. And
what grade? Or what grade?
I teach fourth and fifth grade. It's a split class at a private school. And we've never complied with any of it. No shutdowns, no scams on the faces, nothing. None of it. And,
I love it.
Thank you. That's the reason I teach there. I'll never teach in public school again. I'm for all the reasons, besides what 2020 brought to our attention, but, you know, all the other reasons as well. And I would love to have more information from you to propose to my group here, my freedom-minded group, how that's worked for you, taking the government to task and all those things. We'd love to have you speak to us or educate us.
And I'm more than happy to do that. You can get my info from Proof, and we can set a time to do that. I'm more than happy to help in any way that I can. I will just say, if you're going to become a 501c3, it doesn't cost that much money. We were fortunate enough that we had one of our generous donors provide the money up front. And, you know, it was like $250, maybe $350 to get it all set up. It's really been beneficial. But one of the things that we didn't do, because I had never set up a nonprofit in the past, was I didn't realize that you can pay for this a service. So you can basically you can pay a place a company like Zen Business is one of them, and it's ZenBusiness.com. Basically, you go to that website and you can pay them. You give them all of your information. This is after you've been set up as a 501c3, and you can list them as the registered agent, because we had the problem of like, you would list somebody's like home address or somebody's PO box or something. Well, that becomes something of public record. So I stupidly like listed my home address, because I didn't know. Like, we were scrambling. We just need to set this up, because we were about to get $10,000 worth of donations to sue the government. And you're scrambling to do this stuff, and you don't know better. But, because of that, that stuff's on public record. So then when Antifa wants to find you, if they have one little, scrawny little nerd that's probably never seen the light outside of his window and the light, you know, any light other than that of his computer screen. He wants to do some digging. They can find your home address. Because it's all public
records.
Yeah, I had
to report somebody recently because they tried doxing me on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
I just say let them come, Proof. You know what I mean? I mean, y'all know where I live. Come find me. Y'all know what I do. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's catch me outside.
Yeah.
I sent
both of you a Facebook message in a group so you two can make friends after.
Oh, okay, cool. I appreciate
you.
That. But yeah, that was my biggest lesson, Amanda, is use one of these other services to list as your registered agent, because it really doesn't mean anything, but it helps cover it in another layer of, like, you know, privacy for you. So somebody's not listing their own home address or mailbox. And yeah, I'd be more than happy to give you more information about that. But yeah, you know,
thanks.
The thing is, getting back to your original question and what Proof was saying, like, people are going to call you controlled opposition if you're just out there doing stuff, because a lot of people, they feel the need that they should be taking action, but they're too afraid to take action. So if you're putting yourself out there, that makes them feel insecure that they're not taking
yes.
the same leaps. And so they attack
yeah,
you.
Okay. And that makes
and
so
I
much
could
sense.
Say that 100% because – as you guys know, I run Barefoot is Legal, and we are the largest nonprofit, a 501c3 for that particular market. And you have other groups that they have Facebook groups that may have been around longer, but they have maybe 800 members. And when we ballooned up, and we have over 125,000 just on Facebook between the business page and the group. Over 125,000 uniques, and they're upset because, well, Proof's group only is big because they advertise. We don't advertise. Like that makes them better.
Huh.
Me, I'm not afraid to get the word out about anything I'm doing. I don't run scared.
Exactly, and that's how you and I came in contact.
If I can't put my name on something and be proud of what I'm doing, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to hide in the shadows. Go ahead, Amanda.
No, I was going to say that's how you and I came in contact with how you were doing it on Facebook and promoting it. And when I saw what you were doing, I was totally amazed. And that was impressive to me. I'd never even heard there was a movement for that. So it was, you know, and it came along because people were saying that wearing a scam in the store is essentially the same thing as having to wear shoes in the store.
Yeah.
And that's how you brought it to my attention. And since then, I've been a big fan. So here we are all these years later. I mean, 2 years later.
Yeah. So last month I had the ability to drive a couple hours and go meet Amanda in person. And that's how she got her co-hosting job here on Wednesdays, because I don't remember if you remember Wendy, but she moved over to Mondays, so we had an opening.
Gotcha, yeah. Well, she seems like an amazing co-host, so I'm glad that you two have found each other.
Thank you,
yeah.
I appreciate that. And I was very interested in your website, so Proof sent me the link earlier today, and I looked through as much as I could, and I'm curious with your experiences now after these last two long years, how
mm-hmm.
often have you come across, I'm a small business owner myself, I lost a big contract right at first when all this went down because, of course, I knew it was a scam from get-go, and I never complied with any of it ever. I've never put a scam on my face once. I've never put on gloves. I've never used hand sanitizer. I didn't do any of that. But take my temperature, none of it. And so, of course, I
can't believe you're still alive. It's amazing.
I know, right? And it's funny when people call it the boogeyman, because that's what I've been calling it since the beginning, because it is. It's like you're scared of something that doesn't exist. It's always in the shadows. It's under your bed. What?
Yeah. that's where I'm at. I honestly, if you put me on the spot, if I was going to put bet money on it, I don't think COVID really exists at all. Like, I don't think it's a thing. I know, like, I tell that to people, and they're like, oh, man, like, no, like, me and my family got it. We lost our sense of, like, taste and smell for, like, a month. And I'm like, yeah, I got a flu in, like, 2018. Same thing happened to me. Was that COVID or was that just a flu? Like, sometimes you get a really, really bad respiratory virus. And but that's the thing. Then it gets into semantics. Is it like, okay, are we debating whether this thing is just like another strand of flu or cold? Or are we debating that there's like a new strand? Or are we debating, is this like a thing that's the deadliest virus known to man for the past 100 years? And then we get lost in like the minutia of that, you know? And that's like we have to really stop ourselves from getting lost in like that fight, especially within like the truth and freedom movement, because it's a lot of the same stuff that happened with the 9/11 movement, where the truther movement with that, where it's like, nope, you know, the planes hit the towers, but it wasn't actually Islamic terrorists. It was like an inside job. It was the deep state. And then, oh, no, you're stupid. You think planes hit it? They were holograms. That was, you know, it's like we start arguing about these stupid details and missing, we're missing the forest for the trees kind of thing if we get lost in that minutia.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it only took, it seems like it only took most of those people who realized that it was an inside job, that 9/11 was that it actually is the definition of a false flag. So if you use the word false flag, it seems often people will say, are you saying it didn't happen? No, absolutely, you're saying something happened, but it's not the story that everybody is trying to convince you happened. So
exactly.
Here we are, false flag. Go ahead.
No, and I mean, I'm at the point now where I see any kind of major event, like the mass shootings that just happened, and I haven't had time to really dig into those very deep, and they could both be like really natural, organic things that happen. But I have to say, like, my first impulse is false flag. You know, when I see the headlines, I just show false flag. My first feeling is that this is some faction within our government that's doing this or staging this. And then it's up to us to do our due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please do.
So this guy allegedly wrote a manifesto of 180 pages, and he's 18 years old. I promise you, no 18-year-old is going to physically write 180 pages of anything. Not even a book report.
I would agree with you.
Who's going to write a book about what they're going to do, especially now? If anything, you're either going to type it out or you're going to do an Instagram video or something. You're not going to waste every minute detail.
No, you're completely right. And what's really weird to me, and for a while, like, I've wanted to do this. I'm just maybe too lazy, or I just lack the funding. I don't know. It's maybe a combination of the two. But I've just really wanted to do like a docu-series on mass shooters, because isn't it amazing? Like, you know, whether it's Sandy Hook or Columbine or, you know, the Batman shooter, whatever it is, or the Parkland shooter, it dominates the media cycle for like weeks to months. It's used as like this thing of like why we need to have stricter gun control laws. And then it just, and Dylann Roof is another one. I think, what was that, Charleston or Savannah?
Yeah.
Then it just like disappears, and like they never follow up with these people, which is
weird.
Why?
It's because that the first thing they come out with, he's a Trump supporter or he's a Republican. Now we can go after them, and then they find out that they hate conservatives, and it's like, oh, we can't run with this anymore.
Which seems to be the case with this guy, right? The guy from the Buffalo supermarket shooting. But here's the thing that I saw. Like, he had on the manifesto, right, or on one of his, like, flak jackets that he was wearing, it had the symbol of the black sun, which is, like, this neo-Nazi symbol, which is also the symbol of, like, these Ukrainian neo-Nazis. Have you gone down that rabbit hole at all? Okay.
Right, yeah.
So it's, like, that's
so he's
scary.
He's standing with Ukraine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They should applaud him. I mean, he was standing with Ukraine. You know, too bad he didn't have.
Yeah, he's supporting the current thing.
He's supporting the current thing. Yeah. But there does seem to be this concerted effort, right, within all of this, like globally, to take people that are populists or support like populist presidents or movements, whether it be Trump in the U.S. or whether it be Brexit in the U.K., people that are maybe more liberty-minded, freedom-minded, and it's trying to paint them as Nazis and as violent people and racist. And I prefaced it by saying I have not really deeply looked into it, but it feels like on the surface it's a push for that, to make this guy look like he is this new right-wing, racist, populist supporter, targeting people of color. And yet he's also waving the flag of, like, some neo-Nazi symbols that we're seeing internationally. And it's tying it into this kind of, like, vanilla ISIS, like, you know, the new terror threat is white guys that love freedom and hate people of color or something.
Exactly.
And this guy allegedly is a big neo-climate fascist, which is something that the ultra-MAGAs are not for. We're not for mass depopulation of 90% of the Earth to stop climate change.
Exactly.
It's so hard to tell, you know? Like we're here, we're talking about how they paralyzed the entire world. They took 8 billion people, multiple countries, into one degree or another with a boogeyman virus, with the perceived illusion that there's this deadly virus that's going to kill everyone. They brought the whole world and the global economy to a screeching halt. They can do that. They can make anybody a mass shooter. You know what I mean? They can convince our family, that even us here in this chat, on this call right here, even the people closest to us, the ones that aren't that discerning, they can convince them and propagandize them that we just snapped one day and, you know, we became a crazy fanatic mass shooter. That's the power that these people have, that, you know, through the power of mass media, through the power of the internet and screens, and that's terrifying. The point I'm trying to make is, like, when something like these mass shootings happen, it's like we don't even know if that person's real. Like, I don't know if Peyton Gendron is a real person. I don't know. Is he really a real person? Did he grow up somewhere, or is this just like some composite of someone that they created? And then how are we going to fact check it? How are we going to find out if that is really the guy, if that's really his manifesto, if he was really wearing those things, if he was really the person on the scene? How would we ever know?
Or what a lot of times happens is they throw him out there by himself and tell him to get to work. And then after he shoots one or two people, they realize his inexperience, so they come out, tell him good job, and then they do a bunch of shooting and leave and let him sit there by himself.
Well, that's kind of like what the Batman shooter seems like, right? Like, if you read the details of that, it's like a back door was open, people saw the guy with the weird red hair, but then he disappeared, and then the cops just find him, like, kind of, you know, talking to himself in his car. Really weird. Yeah, so that's the thing. We don't know, and we know that there's a push for they want to take our guns. They're trying to push through the WHO International Pandemic Treaty. That's going to basically subvert, you know, or circumvent all of our constitution, and give the extreme authority to the United Nations, to the WHO. There's just going to be more and more chaos on the horizon, you know, rising gas prices, food shortages, more civil unrest. Because out of that chaos, they want to get us to a point the same way that they got so many people begging for the vaccine so they could have their life back. They're going to do that to all of us over the next 5 years so we accept a new world order, a global, you know, a global governance system, cashless society, universal digital IDs, mandatory vaccine passports. They're going to make things so untenable that the majority of people are just going to beg for anything to make it go away. The same way that so many people are like, I'll take whatever injection you want just so I can see my family, just so I can, like, play pickleball again, just so I can go to Lollapalooza or whatever people care about. They're going to do that on a bigger scale. And, like, COVID really, like, set the tone, the foundation for it. But hey, I don't know if they're going to win. I don't know if they're going to, like, we're here talking about it. There's people listening to this. There's a lot of us that are awake. So it's not like it's a sure thing that they're going to win, but I'm pretty sure that that's their plan.
I just think personally that what's going to happen is you're going to have the World Health Organization take over. A lot of the public has no clue this is happening. And when the World Health Organization tries to do something in a few months, everybody's going to say that that's too much, and they're going to say, you know what, we don't have that power anymore. And then people are really going to find out. But right now, nobody knows about it, or the right people are not sharing about it.
Yeah, I think it'll come to things like look at the weird things that have happened, how, you know, it's like the CDC could put a moratorium on eviction. So, like, if you're a landlord, you couldn't evict somebody because the CDC said you couldn't. And it's like, wait, what, they get to make laws like that? And then it is in this law where they get away with it for a while, and then it goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court goes, oh, no, that's not correct. They can't do that. And the same thing with the mask mandate. I think we have to get away from, and actually, I saw this from somebody that I really admire, and I appreciate the work that he does, even though I don't agree with everything that he has to say. But Derek Groves of the...
a former Freedomist, yes.
Of the Freedom Cell Network. Yeah, from the Freedom Cell Network. And the
he was a host with us
resistance.
Back in, like, 2011.
Oh, very cool, man. But, you know, Derek Rose said it's like we got to get away from this antiquated notion that a Supreme Court gets to, you know, decide your medical freedom, whether that be masks, whether that be, you know, a woman's reproductive rights. Like, we got to get past this place of, like, it's up to a judge to decide what we get to do with our body, whether we, you know, how we get to breathe air, how we get to move about, what gets injected into us. Like, that's a very antiquated way of thinking.
I could see where if a judge, just one judge, ruled on it, but then when it sides in our favor, then the Democrats find a judge in a cave somewhere and they say it's not constitutional, so our ruling goes away.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a really different it's a difficult spot because it's like we're using, you know, we're playing their game to win, but we're having to play by their rules. And sometimes, you know, and they fight dirty. They violate their own rules all the time.
Yes.
And every once in a while you find these there's amazing lawyers out there. We've been working with one here in Georgia, Alex Johnson, and his law partner, Catherine Bernard, and they're very freedom-minded people. Jeff Childers is another one down in Florida. He's been working really hard with the Florida legislature to, you know, pass laws to prevent discrimination because of vaccination status. But it's like we're still working within this system that they have rigged against us, you know? And I'm not sure what the full answer of that is. You know, there's a lot of people that will say, like, they have the exact answer for you, and that sounds really good. But I'm skeptical of anybody that really, like, thinks they have, like, the full solution. And I certainly don't have it. I just think, like, we have to fight back and push back in every way that we can. And I think every little moment of defiance, even if it's like I had to take my wife today to get a CAT scan because she got thrown from a horse and she may have broken her leg. You know, it sucks. Yeah. But she really likes riding horses. I told her she should try bowling. Bowling's like way not as dangerous. You can eat nachos while you're doing it. You can drink beer. It's awesome. She just doesn't want to do it. She wants to keep riding horses. And so anyway, she got thrown from a horse, and she might have busted her leg, and she might be broken. So we had to go to this imaging place today, and, you know, we sign in, everything's fine. And then the lady goes, oh, here's some masks for you. And I go, okay. I just take them. I don't put them on. We don't put them on. I just hold them, and, like, you know, we fill out our paperwork, and then I go back. I bring back her paperwork because she's on crutches, so it's, like, hard for her to get around. And I see that the lady that we've been talking to, you know, she's just a good little German, you know. She's not like, the person calling the shots, but obviously somebody whispers into her ear. As I go back to sit down, she goes, oh, everyone needs to put on the mask that we've provided for them in the waiting room. And I'm like, is that like your boss? Is that the doctor that has said that? And she's like, well, it's like the office manager. And I was like, oh, can the office manager provide me the medical study that shows that masks work? And of course she's like, I don't want to argue with you. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll just wait outside. And there was another lady in the waiting room too. And she's like, she wasn't wearing a mask. She's like, yeah, we'll just go outside. This is ridiculous. But, you know, these people are never going to stop. They're never going to stop. There's no amount of
logic. Well, they got their supervisory access. So because they can control you in some little form, they're not giving that up. That's their way to prove that they're better than you. And my favorite is when they have a ZZ Top beard and they put a scam on when the mask efficiency is 0%.
Uh-huh. I just want to ask. I just want to ask them. You never get to have like. And sometimes I do ask them. You know, like what is the why do I have to wear that? Is it because, like, are you not vaccinated? Oh no, I'm vaccinated. I'm double vaxxed and I'm boosted. Okay, well then why do I have to wear a mask? Aren't you protected? Oh well, I mean, it's just for the safety of everyone. Like they just—it's like cult members, dude. You're talking to cult members.
Yes.
And there's nothing you can say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. It's like talking to somebody from Nexum or whatever crazy cult, you know, like the Jim Jones thing. And you're just like, or the Heaven's Gate. And you're just like, and they're like, hey, you have to be wearing the sweatsuit with the sneakers. And you're like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, you have to. The meteor's coming, and you have to wear it. There's no way to get out of that.
So Kilgore, it just seems like a lot of the conversations that we have, it's like it fits right into a Broccoli Man cartoon.
It certainly does. It certainly does.
I wanted to show both of you a new superhero I've been working on. This guy,
Amanda,
is called...
are you familiar with Broccoli Man?
I am. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good, good.
Yeah, I Do Not Comply got mentioned in a Broccoli Man once.
Oh, hey.
Oh, I love it.
So this guy's name, the new superhero is called Su-Mem. Super Su-Mem? Ultra Mega Extreme Mega Man.
That's a mouthful.
Perfect.
So I want to play this with both of you here, if both of you can kindly cue it up, and I'll play when you're ready.
Okay, I'm going to pull up Facebook. Yep. Okay, I'm ready whenever you are.
All right.
Oh, wait, you're way faster than me. Whoa. You must have, like, super speed internet. Whoa. Slow down, Amanda.
It's because
I'm on dial-up right now. Yeah, I'm on dial-up. I'm trying to connect to AOL Messenger right now. Hold on.
That's because you're using Net Zero.
Exactly, man. I've got 1998 internet. So hold on. Okay, I'm ready. Debate with two men.
Yes. So I'll go ahead and do the countdown here. So. On action, I guess. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to a debate between people that always get it wrong.
I don't think so.
And we have the correct point of view that, gee, blob bullets from Weizenicke Pharmacia Bickles approves of, the liberal view. Today we have a couple students from Southern Hampshire Institute on Technology and Liberal Person.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy being a liberal puppet. I apologize for my skin color.
Wow. Is that something you really want to say on TV?
I am also sorry that I have a penis attached to my person. I thought they hiked my salami before I got on stage, but I could not find my size girdle chin mark.
Which person be with you?
I'm Su-Mem. That stands for Super Ultra Mega Extreme Maggie Man.
What are your pronouns? I refuse to debate anyone who refuses to tell me their pronouns. My official pronouns are they/them. I only sleep with other non-binary global citizens. I am loving and liberal.
Okay, let's get this started. First question. A robber comes into your home. How do you handle it? Millennials, you can go first.
You just have to tell the person it is illegal to come into my home.
Really? You think that is going to get them to leave?
If someone robs your house, it is because they need it more than you. You ask them what they need and you give it to them. Shut up. You are all a bunch of Republicans. I am not an ultra mega mega person.
Every home should be armed with personal weapons. When seconds count, the police are just hours away. An armed society is a polite society that values human life over material things.
Well said, Su-Mem.
We need to ban all guns. Then there will be no more crime.
Is you serious right now? If you ban guns, only criminals will have the guns. Learn your history.
I don't have to do anything. I only have to go to SHS.
You bees is a race traitor. Why you bees is so racist and hate black peoples? If you were not racist, you would be supporting Brandon and Michael Robinson Obama. Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady. Why are all you something duck hairs laughing?
Okay, we need to move to the next question. There is a baby formula shortage. What should we do to handle this? Liberal person, you can go first.
Not my problem. You something duck hair should have all had abortions. I am loving and liberal.
My birthing partner has been trying to get me pregnant. I saw on the fake news channel we should go visit our doctors if our baby needs food.
You dudge. What is your doctor going to do? Tell you to find a way to feed your baby. Then charge you $50 copay for the visit?
Baby formula should only go to black peoples. We need it more than you racist dunces. This is why everyone should have the right to abort any child under the age of 18 for any reason. stop blaming us responsible and loving liberals if you choose to keep your children alive when there is a food shortage.
My birthing partner, she has a salami. We have been trying hard to get her salami into my front hole. Except I also have a salami. It says and identifies as a front hole that is just not fitting there. Oh dear, I called my girlfriend the wrong pronouns again. I keep calling her the wrong pronouns. She is very angry at me for calling her the wrong pronouns. Now she banned me from using her salami for a weekend.
Personally, I think the Brandon administration should stop shipping them to Mexico and giving them to the illegals trying to get into the country. The formula makers are still making formulas. They are instead giving them to the illegals and people that live in Mexico and letting our own babies starve. Why is that okay?
Quit blaming Brandon for the high gas prices. The food shortage isn't the extra high inflation. It is you super ultra mega extreme MAGA people's fault.
I definitely disagree with that. What does someone who works a normal job that votes for Trump has anything to do with Brandon closing thousands of pipelines and shutting down gas production? If Brandon shuts down gas production and replaces it with nothing, what do you think will happen?
They need to stop using gas. Maybe these trucking companies have to use smart cars instead.
You think that trucks that haul pallets of food across country won't fit in a smart car?
I agree with liberal person. We should stop using gas. We need to start hauling cases of food with horses.
We cannot use horses. Horses eat and it is cruel to them. You should just be able to text stuff to people.
We have one more question tonight. What do you think about the World Health Organization taking over the global government? Every nation will have to answer to the WHO on everything. Each nation loses its self-governing and turns over their powers to the world government. Broccoli Man, you can go first, since you are wrong on this subject.
This is an act of treason. Brandon did not even have the Congress or Senate vote on it. He cannot give up the United States governance to a world government just on his own doing.
The bees is fake news. Thems would never do such a thing. Brandon is too liberal to do shit to us peoples.
I agree. If it was true, it would be on CNN. Even Fox News is not reporting it, so it is very super ultra mega fake news.
America sucks ass anyways. It would be excellent to have a global government where everyone has the same rules and the same laws. Then we can kill all Republicans because they are not loving and liberal like us.
If it means that America will have a one-party system, then I am for it. America having a one-party system means we will finally have freedom to choose our president with free and fair elections.
If you hate America that much, why are you still in America? If you hate America, why don't you run the new Wolfpack ESHYTS in Union Hall and drive on over to Cuba so you can embrace to living in the liberal life of communism? You don't have to convert everyone to communism over there.
I bet you still eat meat. Meat needs to be illegal. You Republicans need to listen to Klaus Schwab and eat the bugs and only drink sewer water. You people also refuse to wear scams on that face. I even wear my 3 scams when I am in my apartment by myself when I am sleeping. I do it so you do not catch Rana when I am sleeping. I am loving and liberal.
I also do not believe in abortion after birth.
I hate you so much. I can flip you off all day. You don't believe in my body, my choice. I can do whatever I want with my body. Why don't you believe in freedom? You something ducker?
Hold up. You said my body, my choice. But you only said okay to abortions for your own body. But you want to force people to only eat what you say. You also want me to take experimental gene therapies without my consent. And you even want me to wear a scam on my face, which is clearly my own body. But the only thing you stand for with my body, my choice is abortions. Which is it.
Wearing scams should be always mandatory, just like wearing shoes. It is illegal to go barefoot outside your house.
Actually, there are no laws anywhere in the USA about going barefoot. Those signs you see that everyone loves to quote, they came out in the 1960s after the Civil Rights Act of 1963. Before then, businesses had the right to not serve you based on your gender, your skin color, or any rule they liked. The Civil Rights Act stops that. Since businesses could not discriminate on skin color or gender anymore, they noticed that minorities did not wear shoes when the weather was nice. So business owners started putting up no bare feet signs or no shoes, no service. So they did could still try and discriminate against people. These racist signs are still believed today. Barefootislegal.org even writes to health departments and gathers research to expose the truth on that. Going barefoot is actually healthier than wearing most shoes out today. Going barefoot should totally be your body, your choice. Just like hats.
I always wear flip-flops. I do not want to drop something on my foot.
Exactly my point. Misinformation.
Okay, everyone. That is all the time we have in this debate right now. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
I can't believe they let that loser super ultra extreme mega maga man on this stage. He is way too extreme.
Good night, everyone.
All right, so that was an episode.
You know, the moderator looks like a more attractive version of Kamala Harris. Was that intentional?
I just, they're all pre-made characters, and I have to work with whatever they give me.
Sure, sure. So you did not intentionally try to make her like a somewhat attractive version of Kamala Harris.
It
was just
all
accidental.
All I can do is select the character. I don't have a way to change their outfits or skin colors or anything.
Okay, okay. No, man, but super funny. And, yeah, touched on a lot of the stuff that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I don't know if you even liked Mr. Broccoli, but I try to throw truth into everything.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. And you know, that's one thing that's like, it's kind of astounding, the irony or the, I guess, hypocrisy of the left recently with the SCOTUS leak, which I would say is just another thing to manipulate us and divide us. But, you know, the people that have been pushing back mandates for the last 2 years are now screaming, my body, my choice. It's pretty comical in some way.
Yeah, they're screaming, my body, my choice, while telling you to put your scam on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say it's different. I don't know how that's different, because I thought you're putting a scam on your face is clearly your body.
Yeah, I think what it is that most people aren't principled, you know. That's what I've realized, is that, like, a lot of this stuff should be, if you stand for the principle of bodily autonomy, then you stand for bodily autonomy. And it doesn't matter what your team or your political affiliation votes or what the major pundits of that party are saying.
Yeah.
It just means that, like, you stand for that. If you stand for personal choice, you stand for personal choice. If you're anti-war, you know, and you're anti, like, then you're anti those things. But, I found, you know, definitely in the last 2 years, is most people aren't principled. They want to be part of their tribe, but they want to be validated by their peers. They want to be accepted by the herd. They don't want to be cast out. They don't want to deal with any kind of ostracization. And they have no principles. And
yeah, I don't know if this is
exactly
really a secret or not. I have never been cool ever in my life.
Amanda, is that a secret?
No, absolutely. He is so cool. He just doesn't take any credit, so he's humble.
I don't know about that.
Whoa, there you go. I was testing the guest host, and she says you're cool, man. So I think you're, yeah.
Well,
there you
maybe
have
among
it.
Us, fruit, because fruit because we work together, but the average person on the street, I'm not cool.
Well, you know, what's cool has completely changed. What's cool now is to be a government bootlicker, I guess, if you want to be cool, you know, or if you want to fit in. If you want to play, you know, Vaxxed Live with Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam, then you better become a government bootlicker. But
and
you know,
don't forget Rage
actually,
for the Machine.
Oh, Rage for the Machine, man. They're totally, they're like, I love their new song. Just do what they tell you. Come on. Do what they tell you, man. And come see our fundraiser for Stacey Abrams. It's going to be great. And if you don't come to it, you're like a horrible Nazi. It's so sad, man. Like, I've met Zach. In various points of my life, I've met Zach De La Roca twice. I've encountered Tom Morello twice. And I couldn't imagine encountering them now because even regardless, like Tom Morello, he's literally played like fundraisers for Stacey Abrams, which is insane and inexcusable. You know, this guy, like you really, like you're supporting a political candidate. Weren't you all like about fucking, you know, sorry, like, you know,
anarchy.
Destroy the system, anarchy,
yeah.
You know, tear the, oppose the state. But like, Zach De La Roca seemed kind of cool. Like, we had more, like, Tom Morello had more of a vibe when I encountered, when I met him, that he was like, I'm a rock star. And it's like, he really got off on being recognized. And, you know, he kind of felt like, what it'd be like if you met, like, Tommy Lee or, you know, Axl Rose. He kind of had that air to him. But, Zach De La Roca just seemed like a normal dude, and like you could have like a conversation with him. And I would ask them both, like, if I encountered them now, like, how could you be silent through the last 2 years of extreme government overreach? Is it like, did you just sell your soul? Have you been, or like, how do you drink this Kool-Aid? How do you go from like, F you, I won't do what you tell me, and like, You have a whole song that recounts all the time the American government has assassinated someone, from Martin Luther King to Malcolm X to JFK to, you know, being completely silent when they lock people in their homes under authoritarian control. So I don't know. But they
and weren't they one of the first bands that were telling their fans they had to have the jab to come to see them? I feel like they were one of the first.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. They were saying, like, I don't know if they ever made a statement about that, but, like, they put, like, their ticket sales were on. I don't know. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the only thing I saw was,
well,
like,
I remember
they were going
that they were one of the first ones to go out there and actively promote that if you didn't get the gene therapy, don't go to their show.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I saw that, but it's quite possible.
I remember taking what they quoted and making memes out of it.
I mean, I'm not shocked in the fact that, like, they haven't been opposing this stuff. Is that's proof, and the proof is in the pudding. You know, you have people like Jimmy Levy and Hi Rez that have songs like, you know, Welcome to the Revolution and This is a War, and they're singing, you know, We Will Not Comply, and then you have Rage Against the Machine saying, you know, do what they tell you, bow down to the machine. I mean, there's no machine to Rage Against. They should change their name. They're a joke. They're a complete joke. They're an embarrassment to themselves, and you know, there's no amount of money that will buy back people's souls like that. You know, there's so many people that have just betrayed, like, the fundamental truths and principles that they've made their living on, and they violated those things, and nothing's going to ever buy that back. So, you know, if there is a God or hell waiting for them, you know, God have mercy on their souls, because they're going to be judged somewhere. There's nothing worse than violating your own core principles. Thank you, Amanda.
Yes, I agree.
So anyway, y'all, It's getting late here on the East Coast. It's almost 11 o'clock, and as I mentioned, my wife is injured, so I've become the caretaker of this beautiful lady.
So I was going to mention here, I don't know how much more time I have with you, but I would love for you to tell Amanda and our audience about your new album that dropped before you go.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. So I have a band called Faithless Town, and we are one of the few artists that, have been speaking out against the new normal biosecurity police state, as it were. Today, I woke up to an amazing review of our new album from New York Music Daily, which is a very cool music blog. I think written by a music reviewer that has a deep understanding in history and classical music. The quote from New York Music Daily today is, "Faithless Town released the best freedom anthem of 2022 so far."
Wow.
And they say there's been a lot of great freedom music released this year, but the best song of the bunch so far is Atlanta-based Faithless Town's "Live Free," which is the first single off our album. So yeah, please, if you're listening, and Amanda and Proof, please check it out if you haven't already. FaithlessTown.com.
I'm going to play the song on the way out so everybody can hear it.
Oh, I appreciate you. And I will definitely come back next month because we're going to put out the video for the closing track on the album, Do Not Comply. And Do Not Comply is going to be the most dangerous thing we've ever done. Like, I might have to go live in a bunker because we've got Klaus Schwab in it. We've got Justin Trudeau. We've got Angela Merkel. We've got Marcone. We've got Boris Johnson. We've got Fauci, and it's going to be the most dangerous, controversial thing we've ever done. In advance of that, we're now on Odyssey. We're on Rumble. Faithless Sound is the name of the band. The nonprofit's I Do Not Comply. You can find us at idonotcomply.org. Thank you both for having me, and had a great time having a conversation with both of you. Amanda, stick around because you seem like a great guest host. And next time I come back, I want you to be here.
I definitely will.
That means we'll have to have you on a Wednesday.
Yes, I will. I'll come back on a Wednesday. And thanks again, Proof. I appreciate you so much for having me on.
All right.
Yeah,
so we'll go ahead and listen to the song as Kilgore tends to his wife, and we'll come back and hit some more news. And we got another new Broccoli Man to show as well. So we'll be back after this short one by Faithless Town, Live Free.
So live free and be brave.
All right, so that was Faithless Town by Kilgore Rand, or with and Kilgore Rand. The song was Live Free. So we're going to take a commercial right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie. That government overreach is real. What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors. This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you go.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do... Why would you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
The Proof Negative Radio Show.
11th this year. We're right at the start of the third hour. So Amanda's with me, of course. If you haven't heard of me, of course, I'm Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, and I thank you for finding our humble abode tonight. So, Amanda, you're here, right?
I sure am. I just got done creating probably the most vegan cake you've ever heard of in your life.
Okay.
It's watermelon. I literally cut a watermelon into the shape of a cake and stuck some blueberries and pineapple and strawberries all over it. So my students are going to be so surprised.
I don't know if you've ever had yellow watermelon, but that's my absolute favorite.
I have, actually. It's actually really tasty. It seems like, if I remember right, it wasn't as sweet. Is that correct?
I thought it might have been slightly sweeter, but it's a little different.
Yeah, it's delicious.
My third favorite fruit behind mangosteen and rambutans.
Yes. After you talked about rambutans, I am on the hunt for those. And we had a nice little a farmer's market here that was open year-round, and they since closed their doors in March, so I'm sad. I can't.
Oh, I never even knew there was a farmer's market there.
Yeah, it was just a little shop. They were open year-round, so it was inside, and they closed, and I'm very sad because I'd gotten some wonderful mangoes there.
You're not going to be happy with what I tell you, I guess, but I'll share.
Oh, okay.
I did find them at one place the last time we went to St. George when we saw you on the way home. My wife really wanted to stop at Harmon's, so we went, and they had them there.
Oh, of course. Harmon's always has the most interesting fruit. And if I stopped there, I would have gotten a star fruit for my cake, quote-unquote cake. But that's okay. I'm glad you guys got the fruit you're after. It's my own vendetta against them.
I'm not a fan of sprouts, but I'll give somebody a free strike. Now, if they mess up a second time, then they're banned. But I will give somebody a free strike, and it's not like they go to the front of the line. They're just part of what I do. And if they have something that I need and nobody else has it, then I'll go. But they're not my, hey, I got to go to Sprouts.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
They mess up again, they're off the scorecard completely.
Yeah, my problem with Harmon's, too, is that they're always claiming that they are so supportive of local businesses. They always want to support bringing in food from local, like, farmers and local businesses that were started up nearby. And then when 2020 came along, they switched gears and became Nazi-like. So
yes.
It's just, and I used to work for them, so that's another reason why it bothers me on a core level, because I heard it all the time when I worked there. And for them to do that was just, you know, extremely hypocritical. So, yeah, that's my big problem with them. It's all good, though. And, the school where I teach is right next to the Harmons here in St. George. So it'd be so convenient to go over there. But no, I drive out of my way.
Well, like I said, if you want rambutans and they're the only place that could get them, then I guess you have to make your decisions.
Yep. I will have to find them somewhere else, sadly. Who knows? Years going on, but some of the other grocery stores might start carrying them as they become seasonal, I hope.
I tend to get them year-round.
Mm-hmm. But there's a season for all the things, right? Because it seems like mangoes have a season. And
yeah, they all have a season, but I can get rambutans year-round out here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep looking, see what I can find in another store.
Unless for some reason my wife and I come up to St. George, then we can do some looking for you and bring some up. But the odds of that happening right now, I don't know.
Especially you're going to start a new job.
Yeah, I'm starting a new job on Monday, and we just did a thing today, too, where I don't mind sharing.
Okay, let's hear the
thing. I don't know if this is better or not. It's just trying to reposition our home funding.
Mm.
So we realize that the economy in 6 months, it's going to be a lot more terrible than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the Elantra, and I still have it for another day or two, but car dealerships were calling us asking if we'd be willing to sell our Elantra back to them for more than what the book is.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Holy cow, that's pretty interesting. So I'm taking it, you sold it.
Yeah, we're going to sell it on Friday. So I went back 21 years, and I got a 2001 Chrysler Sebring.
Huh, sweet.
So it is just extremely hard to find a used car for under 100,000 miles and less than $10,000. It's virtually impossible right now.
Hmm. I have heard that.
Because,
yes, go ahead.
Yeah, with the new car lots, if you go into a dealership right now and say, I want to buy a 2022 car, you're putting money down now, and you might get your car somewhere between the end of September and before Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Jeez, that's crazy.
Which is why all these dealers are raising their prices on used cars, and they're trying to buy what they can. So if our car was $19,000 2 years ago on the lot, they offer over $24,000, and they're going to sell it for $30,000 because my car only has 3,600 miles on it.
Wow. Oh, that's low miles. Crazy.
Well, but they're going to pay more than book, and then they're going to charge $5,000 or $6,000 more than what they bought it from me for, and they're going to find somebody that wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
The thing is that when the economy is going to go bad, there's no guarantee that both of us will be working in a year. So it's always good to have one car that's paid for.
Amen to that. Well,
so it's a 2001. We paid $3,500, and it has 48,000 miles.
Wow, that's really low miles as well.
I'm not a fan necessarily, but I understand the concept, and I'm willing to go with it because having something paid for and not having to pay out whatever it was that was the price, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're getting set up. You're ready. You're ready for whatever is going to come our way, which we know something is coming our way. I mean, we talked last Wednesday. We were speaking with, your friend, is it Larry? Wait.
The truck driver, yes.
Yeah, and his insights were very fascinating on what's going on with the food shortages and how it's, you know, of course we know it's manufactured, but how and why? Who's the culprit? Like, who's behind? That was very interesting. And it's, you know, I'm sure we're looking at the same situation with all these manufactured type of shortages.
And
that
something
we're dealing
I noticed
with right now.
Yesterday, too, I started looking at this.
Uh-huh.
But the 2001 Chrysler Sebring does not have a black box in it.
Oh.
I don't know if you know about that, but a lot of cars in the 2000s have black boxes, so they can patch into whatever you're doing.
Right. So basically less computerized is what you're telling me. that's actually a good thing.
Yeah. So if they want to do taxing by the mile and a lot of other odds and ends, they may or may not. I don't know how they're going to retrofit stuff, but it's possible that because this car doesn't have a black box, they might not be able to do what they really would like to do.
Nice. Hit them where it hurts. Support their plan. I approve.
The thing is that everything in the car is, because it has low miles, nothing's ever been changed, probably. I mean, I'm sure it's gotten oil changes and stuff, but I have to fix the starter right away. It's not not out, but I could tell it's about to go out. So, but if you know stuff ahead of time and you could pay for it ahead, it's not the end of the world.
Right, and starters are pretty inexpensive compared to other things. So that's good. Sweet. Well, it sounds like you have a lot of changes going on, and you're preparing. So that's going to set you guys up. Now, is your wife getting ready for summer break? They're not year-round school, right?
No, her school ends next week, and then she's in another program for 30 days, and then she's on break for a while.
Oh, good. That'll be nice. Well, you know, however much a break you can call it for teachers, but it is looked forward to by the children as well. Like, my students are so looking forward to a summer break. But
it's just strange to me that, I'm going back 21 years after having a new car, but that's okay. It's now's not the time for worrying about new cars. It's the time for trying to make sure you can withstand this global onslaught that's about to happen.
Amen to that. Amen. Yeah, I was going to mention that my stepson actually owns a car dealership. It's a small one, of course. It's just he basically goes through his inventory really quick, and he has been saying that it's almost impossible to get any inventory. He would go to the auctions and get a lot of his vehicles from there. And it's hard because there are so many people buying for the same vehicle that, you know, 100 people ahead of him before he even has a chance to log on. And it's timed and it's really restricted, and it's a lot of work. And he's gone from, because they live in northern Utah, and they'll go to Las Vegas just in hopes of finding at least, you know, one or two vehicles. And it's pretty cutthroat right now.
Yeah, so instead of finding three vehicles at every auction, you're hoping that you could find one or two in an entire month now.
Yep, exactly.
And you're paying more than what you paid for before.
Oh, yeah. And that, of
so
course,
a 4,000 purchase, you're paying about $5,500, $5,600, and so your markup has to go up, and it's people just, and they're blaming Trump somehow.
Right. Oh, man. It's classic. And it's pretty comical when I hear it now. I shake my head most often and try to figure out, I don't know what kind of logic they're using to try to reason that out. I can't figure out how anyone would believe that.
Well, they don't have any answers, so all they could do is try to make fun of us.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that Ultra MAGA, just think, your taxpayer dollars came up with that.
Ah, the stupid things that taxpayer dollars go toward. It, you know, I'd like to say that I'm surprised, but I'm just not. I'm not surprised. They constantly allocate my money for things that I do not approve of, for one, and for two, that are frivolous and stupid. But what control do I have over it? Apparently none. But here
so
we are.
I want to go ahead and play the other new Broccoli Man with you while you're here.
Sounds good. I'm down.
So it's called Who Arrests Who. I gave you the link.
Okay. I'm going to pull that up right now. And
I might work on a new one tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. All right. And I'm getting a messenger. All right. All right, I'm ready when you are.
So I'll just set this up here. So Broccoli Man in this episode is trying to arrest the wiretap for diddling children at the local school. And to retaliate, the wiretap is trying to arrest Broccoli Man for thwarting the New World Order plans.
Okay.
So let's roll this beautiful bean footage here. So, all right.
Okay,
so
I'm ready.
Three, two, one, action.
Hark, who goes there? Why are both of you walking around this jail?
Hello, officer. I am arresting this fake globalist superhero for being involved in a child trafficking ring. I caught him in a school restroom having his way with some kids.
Officer, I am hereby arresting Green Dude for beating a something ducker and trying to ruin a crime syndicate. As a superhero, I have the power to arrest anyone I want. If there are any questions, G-Lobalist will help us out. We need to get this Green Dude in this jail right away so he can commit more crimes. And I mean, I need to arrest this lad because he is a brutal thug that cannot be trusted on those mean streets. He even supports MAGA. He will be in here a long time. I do hope we can pay the courts enough to lock you up forever and throw away the key.
I arrest all child traffickers. You get caught diddling kids, and we have it on video. You are the one getting arrested. I don't care who you work for.
You are the one getting arrested for abusing a nuisance to the global government. You are disrupting our crime syndicate. You both think I am getting involved in your squabbles?
Officer, sex trafficking and diddling kids in a restroom is a serious crime.
So is thwarting a one world government. The World Health Organization is about to announce we have a one world government any day now. I need to be out there making sure there are no MAGA people turning this world's part turnover into January 6th, sir.
You mean a false flag operation where the FBI infiltrates the peaceful protest and stages events to make it look worse than what it was?
Precisely, Green Dude. We cannot have that. We also need you to put the bloody scam on its face. I am thinking about arresting both of you for wasting my time. Officer, you do not have to arrest both of us. You need to be arresting him.
Diddling children in a restroom is a serious crime.
It is not, sir. I am a minor attracted persons. That is nothing compared to you stopping us from globally dominating. It is illegal to diddle kids. Why is that? It is also illegal to not obey a lawful order I have created. And I read Green Dude his Miranda rights, sir.
You told me to come out with my pants down.
Green Dude, you need to check those delicious kumquats. You might be hiding a taser, a pair of nunchucks, or a copy of the 2000 Mules documentary inside your junk.
You New World Order shill. Why would I hide a perfectly legal movie inside my junk?
You tell me, Green Dude. You are the extremist, sir. You keep stepping in it. Now if you can kindly remove the uniform so I can graze through your pubic hairs. I need to make sure the carpet matches the drapes on your person.
You even think about putting your hands on me. I am blasting you all the way to Mars with my fists.
Mars is a kind of place for raising your kids, in fact. It's cold as hell and there's no wonder to raise them if you did and all the science. I don't understand. Rocket Man. I hope they arrest you a long, long time.
are taking both of you up front. You can go talk to the captain and let him figure it out.
How bloody diddly ding dong do be dare you call your police captain a him. Gender is now illegal, you overpaid out.
Excuse me, sir. I am trying to help you out.
I can arrest anyone I do so please. And that includes you. It is illegal to misgender anyone now in this state. That is punishable up to 6 months in that jail cell. I also want to see Green Dude's delicious baskets of kumquats right this instant.
Never.
Green Dude, if you misgender anyone, we will arrest you. Don't do the crime if you cannot do the crime of using gender in the discussions, sir.
Is that so? You keep calling me sir. Does that mean I can arrest you for that too?
You shut up, Green Dude. You are not helping me wiggle my way out of crime, sir.
Okay, well, Rizap, I think you overplayed your hand. You have refused my generosity. I need to detain you.
Officer, may I please schedule a conjugal visit with Green Dude? There's a lot of horny goat today. I also took 3 servings of Alex Jones Super Make Vitality, so I am very fertile right now.
Not on your life.
So you better be cool, relax, get hip, and get on my tracks. Take a back seat, hitchhike, and take a long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. Crazy little thing called love.
The global cabal is planning race riots, food shortages, gas price skyrocketing, and all other distractions while they bring in the New World Order global government. Whatever they can do to distract everyone as their finances go down in flames. Everyone is onto what the globalists are doing these days.
Hey Biznich, shut that app or I will force that trap closed. We cannot have you promoting Proof Negative or Freedom Miser Radio. You might accidentally have a viral video and everyone will know about the New World Order takeover.
Okay, well, Rizap, right this way. You can get in cell at 26.
Can Green Dude get in the cell with me? I will even give him the top bunk.
Everyone needs to see what the global government is trying to set up right now. We are in an information battle right now. These globalists commit all kinds of evil crimes. Then they take the pressure off themselves by making race wars or doing something to take the media off of their trail. You need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and lots of truth news that most media shows refuse to talk about. Go to freedomizerradio.com and press listen live.
Officer, can I make one turn to globalist and pay you off so I do not stay in here? We can make sure you have a new company vehicle.
Yes, that is going to work great. The wiretap drives a 1993 Geo Metro.
All right, so I hope it was all right.
That was kind of funny, the Geo Metro. I liked that ending.
Well, that's what he drives. That's what the wiretap does. He drives a metro.
Yes, I didn't realize that. Pretty hilarious. And disturbing, though. Actually, the topic where it was, the actual topic of this one is quite disturbing, actually. So.
Well, I get it, but that's what the wiretap does. So I had to make sure that that was represented.
Yes. Well then. And there are people who think that they are, attracted to children, and that should be protected as a sexual preference.
Yeah.
Or moving into that.
I'm not going to say growing, I guess, but a lot of people are coming out of the closet, literally, and saying that they're part of that.
Yeah.
But they're trying to stand up now because if they all stand up together, then maybe they can make social change, I guess, and they don't want to get arrested for that. So if they have the money, they'll just fight for their rights now. But it's absolutely
right.
disgusting.
Yeah. It's disturbing on so many levels that they're trying to normalize things that even just maybe 10 years ago, that would have been considered horribly reprehensible, and they would have definitely gone to prison and been killed in prison because, you know, inmates typically have no mercy on the pedophiles. But now they're normalizing it as though it's something that we should just throw that into the LGBTQ plus movement and honor it.
Yeah, that's something I can never even allow to be represented.
Exactly. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people in the LGBTQ movement that would find that to be horrible. They would not want that in their associated with their what they're doing.
Correct. And we talked about this for a long time. It's not that anybody was ever about gay rights. It's just that we knew that this is the slippery slope it was going to go down. And they infiltrated the movement, which was righteous and fair in its own right in the beginning. But
mm-hmm.
when these people get involved,
yep.
it's not cool.
Yeah, it's actually getting quite exhausting. The things that they keep throwing out for us as though we're the ones who are not being inclusive, we're not being welcoming to all different.
Yeah, we're
many...
ultra mega because we don't want to
yeah.
see kids getting sexualized in kindergarten.
Yeah, and that we should just be okay with whatever anybody decides, regardless of how actually horrible that is. And yeah, there are some things that I just, like you, I cannot tolerate, and I never will be able to tolerate. It's disgusting to think about. And I have 24 students in my class, and if I thought something was happening with one of them, I would have to kill the perpetrator. I'm just, have zero tolerance for it.
Yeah, I don't have any tolerance for that either.
But I guess that makes me the extremist. Makes us the extremist.
Yeah, and that's why I have to put out content like that to expose the what's going on in today's society.
Yep. Agreed. So I know that there was a... Was there another video you were telling me you were going to show a clip of? Or did? Oh, maybe we already did that one. I remember we had talked about it early on. I think you already showed me the clip, or let me hear it. That's right.
I don't remember which one that was, to be honest. So I don't know
okay.
if we're... I did upload a bunch of stuff today.
Okay. I'm going over some of the things you sent me. I had zero time to look at anything today except for what the few things you sent me. So I appreciate that you go through all that effort to get me the current news and show me what's going on so that I can be more educated on it.
So just another quick thing that...
Yes.
So Tesla was removed from the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index today.
Oh, what the... That's a surprise, actually.
Well, it's political reasons.
Because Elon Musk bought Twitter?
Well, not only that, but he came out and said that he can't get behind these new radicalized Democrats, so he's going to vote Republican from now on.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. Ah, I see. So they're punishing him for that because he's aligning
yes.
himself with Republicans. Okay.
He says, look, I'm not a Republican, but I can't go with these radicals.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wait, I thought we were, aren't the Ultra MAGAs, aren't they the radicals? Jeez, I feel like that was, I was being called an extremist recently, even though I'm a libertarian, if I had something to be called. So that's interesting. So what was his comment? What was he saying, Elon Musk, about that?
I don't have it up, but I just know that he was talking about basically just that.
Okay. Here we go. So what do you think of Steven Crowder? Have you listened to any of his stuff?
My Monday co-host, Wendy, that's her favorite guy right there.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't looked at it yet, but because I do listen to Rumble quite often. I go to Rumble for things, and it looks like he's got something up about, oh, that was the Project Veritas. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Oh, okay.
You already showed that to me.
That's
yeah.
Right.
It was just,
I didn't play that for you today.
Okay.
If you need it, I could play it. It's not a big deal.
Well, I was just looking at it right here in front of me, so that's why I was trying to remember what we had talked about, but came out with as a Republican, coming out of the closet as a Republican. Oh, boy. It's
well,
never
it's
ending.
Not hard to do. It's like you see gas prices and food shortages and war. What has Brandon done for the American person other than he took Trump out of office? It's like, well, big whoop-de-doo. You can't just, your biggest claim to fame can't be I beat the other president.
Right.
Allegedly.
And did he even beat the other president? Yeah, exactly. He can't even claim that. He just does what he's told. And if his controllers are not within his line of sight, he goes off the rails, trying to shake hands with people that don't exist. And can't complete any sentences.
My favorite one was when the Easter Bunny is telling him where to go.
Mm-hmm. And gets right up in his face, waving his arms. The Easter Bunny waving his arms. Yeah, that was pretty great.
But Elon Musk and a bunch of other people believe that whoever runs the teleprompter is the president.
Hmm. Let's see.
Because Brandon doesn't say stuff off the cuff. He reads a teleprompter.
Yes, he does. And we've heard many times him say things like, well, I'll just say whatever you want me to. I'll stand wherever you tell me. And he has no independent thought. And kind of pathetic. A lot of pathetic, actually. Yep.
So I have today's Tucker Carlson and I have today's Russell Brand. Today's Russell Brand, I think, is one of my favorite ones he's ever done.
Oh, yeah. Let's listen to his stuff. He's spot on most often.
All right. So do you want to watch it in real time where I play it here and you watch it, or do you how do you want to do it?
All right.
We'll just listen then.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So I'll play that now.
You're Ultra Mega, and you're Ultra Mega. I'll Ultra Mega you so hard. Is Ultra Mega an insult that's going to shift the needle in Joe Biden's favor, or is it just Basket of Deplorables Part 2? Hey-ho there, you 5.6 million awakening wonders, learning to discern, adjudicate, and judge truth from fiction, deception from integrity, noticing now that the political space is fooled with rhymes and lies that don't make no sense to anybody but the stupid. If you don't subscribe yet, subscribe right now. And remember, we want your comments and your likes, and turn on that notification bell. At the end, I'm going to tell you how to sign up my mailing list and some of the great events I do here. And remember, if anyone in the comments below goes, hey, text me here, I'm Russell. That's not me. I don't want you to text me. We communicate thusly. Now, let's see how the wonderful world of propaganda is trying to spin your mind right now. Joe Biden had a team of people come up with the phrase Ultra MAGA for 6 months. Weren't you under the impression that we're in a stage of hyperinflation, food shortages, precipice of a global war emerging from this pandemic and dealing with the peculiar set of regulations, deceptions, confusion that emerged out of that? Do you think a good use of the president's time is coming up with catchphrases. What is it, Saturday Night Live?
I call it the Ultra MAGA plan and the Ultra MAGA Republicans. The MAGA Republicans are under my predecessor, the great MAGA king.
The other path is the Ultra MAGA plan. This MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
Now, obviously, what this represents is an attempt to defibrillate dying tensions. As people in America start thinking, hold on a minute, this ain't working very well. That withdrawal from Afghanistan was a disaster. We don't necessarily want a war against Russia. Hyperinflation, food costs more money now, gas is costing loads of money, things are falling apart. What should we do? I know what. Let's get people talking about complex hot-button social issues, about bodily freedom. Let's get guns to the front of the agenda again. Let's get the ultra-MAGA conversation going. I'm not suggesting any of those things aren't real, by the way. I don't, in spite of what you may read, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I believe in conspiracy facts like you. Let me know in the comments below if that's how you see this kind of thing. I reckon this is an attempt to re-engage the fissures and tension that can exist between people at time that probably collectively people on the left and right are starting to think, oh no, this administration, shit. Oh no, MAGAs! You don't want no more MAGAs, do ya? What about them MAGAs? Ultra MAGAs, King MAGAs, magazines, MAGA queens, I'm wearing a pair of new MAGA jeans. If I say MAGA enough, will you not notice it? MAGA! MAGA Fox! MAGA Fox! Let's have a look at the story of more depth. Looking to avert a midterm disaster that would all but end his domestic agenda, President Joe Biden has landed on a message aimed squarely at the political movement of his predecessor. Trump ain't president no more. Trump ain't making no decisions anymore. You can't blame Trump anymore. You can't every night go, Trump done this, Trump done that. What people are starting to realize is that Trump was rating steroids and that Trump was a useful gargoyle to focus the attention of emergent progressive politics because he's this ultra macho child's drawing of a president we've called him before. And now that that threat doesn't exist, it has to be revitalized. Instead of, you know what else you could do? Focus on real politics. Focus on making ordinary people's lives better. Instead of saying, mega, start thinking, how can we improve the conditions, taxes, financial situations, social conditions, tensions between different communities? What can we do? We're in power now. No excuses anymore. We can make the changes we need to make. Well, it's a bit more complicated than that, Russell. There's the Supreme Court, there's Congress, and then there's the Senate. Oh, so you're saying that there needs to be significant institutional change? Agreed. Radical, necessary, immediate. Instead of 6 months think tank wanking out new phrases about nothing, ultra MAGA this, MAGA king that, get on with your job. Do your job. But he's not mentioning Donald Trump. Instead, the White House works aggressively to paint Republicans and their policies as an ultra-MAGA agenda in a push to overcome the president's brutal approval ratings and voters' frustration with high inflation to help Democrats maintain control of Congress. You can use this as a litmus test. If you hear people saying ultra-MAGA, ultra-MAGA, what you know is these people don't think for themselves. We learn as much from you as you may learn from us. But we shouldn't just take on and imbibe other people's views and opinions. We should curate information as best we can from a variety of sources. When Matt Taibbi came on my podcast, Under the Skin, he said that's exactly what he did. If he wants to understand something, he talks to 15 reliable people. Then he presents his own conclusions. We should all do our own version. I mean, there ain't enough hours in the day if you're grafting away on zero-hour contracts. I get that. But what I mean to say is, if you hear people using phrases that have been fed to them by the media, you know what's happened. They're occupied. They've been parasited. They ain't awake. A lot of people are not awake. They know not what they do. Or as it says in The Sixth Sense, they're already dead. They've killed us already. We're already, this must be ultra-MAGA. Oh, there's a basket of deplorables, I believe. Don't get sucked into it. None of it is real. Go inside yourself. Understand your own emotions. Don't get distracted by this crap. Rather than calling out Trump by name, Biden targets the Make America Great Again takeover of the Republican Party as the product of an increasingly extreme party. Now, let me tell you, I know some of you lot, you like the Republicans because of social and cultural issues that resonate with you. I'm sure there's people that don't. Me, I don't think that either of those two political parties are going to meaningfully change your life. What I mean by that is you wake up in the morning, You are you. You go about your life. You have your relationships. You need a politics that's going to impact you in your heart. Are you a teacher? Are you a police person? Are you a fire person? Where do you work? What do you do? Are you an independent business owner? Let me tell you, whatever you do, your culture is coming for you. It's hollowing out your businesses. It's hollowing out your communities. It's giving more and more power to unelected globalist bodies. That's what's going on. I'm watching it happen in real time. And the only way that can take place without opposition, because you'd be disgusted if you saw it, is by distracting you with this ultra MAGA crap. Biden introduced the ultra MAGA label last week.
Got a new project dropping, ultra MAGA. This is what I'm going to do it, ultra MAGA. See, that's my sign, ultra MAGA.
Making it a staple of his public remarks since. They're having conversations, aren't they, saying, listen, let's start calling things ultra-MAGA and say it in all your speeches. Lean confidently against the podium and say ultra-MAGA. It'd make you look so statesmanly. Behind the scenes, the term ultra-MAGA was the subject of months of polling from Democratic allies, focus groups, and meetings among White House officials to fine-tune a strategy to define the opposition. The conclusion? Voters respond more negatively to MAGA than Trump. Who people love. What a terrible thing if you're the Democrats to start understanding. Wait a minute. People like Trump because they don't like us. Because they're sick of empty, hollow promises and meaningless gestures. Could we change? Could we become a different party that helps people, that creates social liberty, that empowers people to run their own lives?
We could do that, or we could start saying MAGA instead.
Yeah, sorry about that other thing. Sorry about that. The great MAGA king, Biden said in a speech Wednesday in Chicago, referring to the former president. The other thing is, they're not very good at coming up with stuff, because that sounds cool. Democrats are trying to define a clear choice in the midterm elections to avoid a referendum on a struggling presidency. Sort your shit out then. Sort out the struggles of millions, hundreds of millions of ordinary Americans who are suffering right now because of ineptitude, political ineptitude, that you said you would end. Because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, oh, Trump. Right, no Trump. MAGA. They want voters to see ultra MAGA as their alternative. Omitting Trump's name is meant to reinforce a movement the Democratic strategist said is bigger than Trump, with whom Biden has largely sought to avoid direct conflict since taking office. I wonder why. The strategy still risks making the midterms about Trump, not the movement he spawned or Democrats' vision for the country. Biden has ramped up his criticism of Trump's political movement as several Republican primaries take place this month. Democrats face a possible outcome in November that could leave Biden with a Senate and House controlled by Trump loyalists, virtually ending any chance of the White House passing major legislation for the rest of Biden's term. Not that they're going to do anything anyway, because how is the party funded? How is the party lobbied? How do the Congress people make their real money? What jobs are they going to be doing when they aren't in Congress or the Senate anymore? It's all sewn up already. Oh no, they've won the Senate and the House. Now we won't be able to do fuck all in the way we was gonna. Biden first hinted at the term last month during a swing to Western states. This ain't your father's Republican Party, he said at a fundraiser in Seattle. This is a MAGA party now. These guys are a different breed of cat.
Like me, I'm a hippest cat in town. I'm going around, I'm doing my thing. Hey, MAGA, I back a new victory.
The research project that led to the term Ultra MAGA was led by Biden advisor Anita Dunn and by the liberal group, the Center for American Progress Action Fund. This is people's jobs. So when you're struggling economically, when you're worrying about the price of fuel or where your next bit of baby powder's coming from, know that there's people paid for by you, by your taxes, to come up with catchphrases for your president so that they can distract you from the fact they're not doing anything with your money. Outgoing White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Tuesday said Ultra MAGA is Biden's phrase, and that he added ultra to give it a little extra pop.
MAGA's pretty good to some of you cool cats like old Corn Pop, though. I'm going to give it a little bit of a boost. How about Ultra MAGA? Corn Pop!
According to the Post, the polling and focus group research by Heart Research and the Global Strategy Group found that MAGA was already viewed negatively by voters. Yeah, people who don't like it anyway. What you need to work on is finding unity, connection, not calcifying and cementing existing divisions. We know there's divisions. We know some people are focused on progressivism with very valuable arguments.
and some people are focused on traditionalism. We have very valuable arguments. There are perfectly reasonable people on both sides of the argument. So what are we going to do to create a better America and a better world? I know I'm not even American and I don't live there, but guess what? I live in an anglophonic country, and our culture is determined by your dominator culture. That's the reality of it. I'm not complaining about it. We had our turn, the red jackets and all that stuff didn't work out. The research showed that the description tapped into sentiments that the Republican Party had become more extreme, the Washington Post reported. And yet the attack line may be something MAGA Republicans want to embrace, just as they did when Hillary Clinton called them a basket of deplorables in 2016. When will you ever learn? Republicans accused Biden of abandoning his campaign pledge to unite Americans and said Democrats will be judged by their president's low approval ratings and high inflation. I'm not an economist, so I can't claim to understand the true complexity of hyperinflation, but I do know that American corporations and global corporations affiliated with the United States are making record profits. So while you may be suffering, they are profiting. And while Joe Biden chooses to call it Putin's price hikes or blame Trump and blame ultra MAGA as if it's some new groovy catchphrase, it's difficult to avoid ineptitude at the heart of government. Some Republicans have doubled down on their MAGA credentials since Biden's wave of attacks. I am ultra MAGA, Republican Elise Stefanik said, and I'm proud of it. I would never vote Republican. I would never vote Democrat. I'll say this, though. Coming up with these crazy, stupid phrases is dumb, and it plays into rhetorical territory that the Democrats don't traditionally do well in. They've created for themselves another Let's Go Brandon. Instead of coming up with catchphrases and keeping this veneer of empty rhetoric as the defining space in cultural conversation, how about accepting, oh, we're not very good at that. Do you know what we should do instead? Focus on making people's lives better. Focus on improving the conditions for ordinary Americans. Focusing on healing the divisions that have been caused. That was what was pledged at the augmentation of Biden's presidency. But all of those things, you know what? They're hard to do. People can't do them. So what they do instead is distract you with phrases that can go on a hat. And frankly, the Republicans are better at doing that. Political observers also have doubts. Matt Grossman, director of the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research at Michigan State University, said Biden's ultra-MAGA push mirrors Democratic efforts to define Republicans as extreme. He said Democrats struggled to execute that argument in past elections and probably will again. He said taking on Trump's MAGA movement still faces the fundamental problem that Trump isn't on the ballot. So there you are. Politics, as we've said for some time, is about rhetoric, presentation, performance and appearance, when in fact what politics ought be about is the representation of ordinary Americans, not using various distraction techniques to prevent us from recognizing that what government does in your country, in my country, in most countries that you would call developed or Western or whatever, choose your word, is distract you from the fact that corporate power is what dominates how ordinary life is lived. That public facilities are being hollowed out so that global corporations, I'm not talking about independent business, I'm not even talking about small, normal, or even medium-sized businesses. Global behemoths can suck the power out of your community, whatever your community is, however you define it, geographically or by some other means. The power is sucked out of it and centralized. And as long as they can use some badge to legitimize what they're doing, they'll carry on doing it. And as long as they've got a stooge in the White House, nobody is going to stop them. Are you going to stop them? Are you going to organize? Are you going to look for alternatives? Let me know in the comments below what you think you should do. Give this video a thumbs up. If you see any comments below.
There. So your thoughts real quick, and then we have a caller.
Yeah, that was sounds like a Russell Brand rant, and usually pretty epic, so it's a pretty good one. And go ahead and grab that caller.
All right, so we have Kristen, I believe, from Ohio.
Yes. Can you
Welcome
hear me?
In. If it's any consolation, Kristen, I'm a very devout Indian / Guardians fan.
Well, I moved to Virginia from Ohio in January of this year.
All right.
And the first thing I noticed was our governor, our state flipped from Democrat to Republican. And I knew that was going to happen because I saw from Ohio, I was looking at Virginia when I was considering moving here. And I saw the Democratic governor starting to take away guns, like long guns. And I thought, okay, he's going to pull up the registry from everyone that registered their rifles or ARs, and then he couldn't, the Democratic governor couldn't even get volunteers or paid people to go and approach all these people, especially the good old boys that have farms, and say, oh, okay, I'm going to knock on the door, and then when you answer, I'm going to tell you, I see this on your registry, and you need to turn over your gun. So I was like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall, because it didn't work. Nobody would do it. It was too dangerous to go collect the weapons, and I thought, wow, you know, I'm still planning on moving to Virginia, so that's going to be the last nail in the coffin when they have the 2021 vote. And sure enough, they voted out the Democratic governor that started taking away guns, and they voted in Youngkin, and life has been a lot better here, a lot better here. And then on the movie 2000 Mules, that is just epic. That is just epic. And one of the reasons I like that movie so much is because it was made using the same bullcrap software and satellite footage. So it's like proof positive of all these stuffing ballots and going to ballot drops and pulling out suitcases long after the vote was over from under tables. And just running
well, and
them
let
through.
Me just interject here real quick here, Kristen. So they're playing that same game again this morning with Dr. Oz, who mysteriously is coming out way in front after being somewhat losing last night before everybody went to bed.
I don't know. I mean, I wish the 2,000 Mules was more accessible and not as expensive, because then everybody
would
watch it.
I'm talking about what just happened yesterday and this morning with the primaries.
Okay. What state is he in?
Pennsylvania. Your neighbors.
Okay, yeah.
Pennsylvania,
that's Maryland.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know what's going on with Dr. Oz.
Well, he's for Big Pharma. He's against the Second Amendment. He's pretty much another Mitt Romney. But somehow Trump endorsed him.
Well, I think that was a mistake on Trump's part. Because I did notice that almost everybody that Trump will have a rally, and then whoever he is backing, they usually win, or they at least get on the primary. So, yeah, this is a mistake. Well, Dr. Oz was a cardiologist. You know, he's not like Dr. Tenpenny or some of these other epic doctors that have revealed all this nasty stuff. And
yeah, he's just a guy that gets paid to handle Big Pharma type stuff. That's all.
Yeah, I don't like Big Pharma. I was stuck when I lived in Ohio. I had cancer, and I was going to Cleveland Clinic all the time. And I found a way to get into remission, and the Cleveland Clinic never believed me, and I just didn't care what they thought anymore. I did some natural methods after I got done with radiation and chemo, and they said, "You're not supposed to be here. You had stage 4 cancer." And I gave them a list of what I was doing, like alkaline water and turmeric tea, that anything that reduces inflammation, and they just can't understand me.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you for standing up for your rights, especially considering it's a Cleveland Clinic, and they definitely can be bullies. So that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Your own.
Yeah. I when I told my oncologist, I said, The image on the CT scan is a old Met that was neutralized with radiation. He said, "Well, I don't really believe you, and you're young enough to have you have room for more chemo." And I said, "I'm never going to do chemo again." And he said, "Oh, well, you know what? Cleveland Clinic has an excellent hospice program, so you can do that." And I said, "You're fired." I have never.
We're going to help you until you die.
Yeah. No. Well, I luckily right after I was done with radiation and chemo, I stumbled across a integrative doctor in Ohio, and I went to her, and she's both a medical doctor and a naturalist. So if you need chemo, all you got is if you think you need chemo, you pirate your Cleveland Clinic labs and you bring them to her. And she'll look at it and she might say, okay, try one session, just one session of chemo and come back to me. And she's the one that taught me, get a pitcher that has a filter in it, use spring water, put that in the pitcher, and the filter in it you replace every 9 months, it makes your... it makes your water, oh, what's the name for it? It makes your water alkaline. So you drink like 2 tall cups of alkaline water every day, and shortly thereafter, your cancer starts disappearing because cancer cannot survive in an alkaline body. And she also told me to take a high-powered turmeric, mix it with honey, and put a bunch of pepper in there and drop it in hot green tea every day. And that's a powerful anti-inflammatory. So if you have cancer in your digestive system, it'll go for the honey, but the honey's full of turmeric and pepper, so it'll die immediately.
Sounds like you got some good advice.
She said de-stress also. You know, if there are, pardon me, assholes in your life that you don't want to put up with anymore, just cut them off. Be brave and cut them off. Because, you know, you need to de-stress all the time. So I had enough with Cleveland Clinic, and it was time to move to Virginia. And their oncology here is more reasonable. The thing that pissed me off the most is Cleveland Clinic redacted my name off of my chart after I had gotten in remission for a few years, and they called me the anomaly, and they had a conference with a bunch of professionals. And I was like, you didn't even ask me. And they said, well, we redacted your name, and you're known as the anomaly because you're not supposed to be here. And that was like the last straw.
Oh, yeah, I can see why you'd be out of there. That's ridiculous. And you're the anomaly, of course, because you did something that works, and you know they're not going to take that advice and use it with their other patients.
No, not at all. And then if I had to go to Cleveland Clinic, say, for just a blood draw from the port in my chest, on a big stack of sticky notes, I would write thetruthaboutcancer.com on like 50 of these sticky notes. And I'd give them out in the waiting room. And I'm just so surprised I didn't get busted for that, because that's another site. It's by Ty Bollinger and his wife. It's called thetruthaboutcancer.com.
And yeah, you bet.
He started exploring alternative ways to cure cancer. His entire, like, upper generation, every one of them got cancer and died. And he was like, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. And he discovered there were cancer-curing places all across the United States, but they were driven usually south. You'd have to go to Mexico to find cures. And, like, you'd have to go below the border or to another country to find. They use light and sound healing frequencies. They can inject baking soda directly into tumors and they disappear. There are healing beds out there. There's so much out there that's being held back from us.
Yeah, see.
So
they
much,
want patients, not cures. Yeah.
Right. So I do think with the frequency of the earth going up, I didn't understand it at first, but the lower entities like Pelosi, I call her Skeletor, and all these people that are doing bad things, their frequency, their body frequency is very low. And we've had so many sun flares this year, the Schumann resonance is usually around 7.5. It's the frequency of the Earth, and it's been spiking at 30, 40, and it'll go back down. And those kind of entities that are really bad, they can't stay on the planet very long. So I do know that they're all going down, and hopefully it's this year, because I've had enough. I've had enough of everything.
Amen to that. Yeah, I've been following the Schumann's resonance for a little while, and it's seriously intense. I know people will say they're not sleeping well whenever it's spiking. I actually sleep better when it spikes, so it's been really interesting to watch this. Have you noticed any difference in your health, or like you've obviously recovered from the cancer? And
right, I've been in remission at least 3 years, but I know when it goes up because my head starts throbbing. And what I do is I bought some crystals that are real dark, like obsidian. So if I stand on, if I just hold obsidian in my hand and shut my eyes, that's a, like a grounding crystal. Or if I take that and I go on the grass in front of my condo unit, I can stabilize it.
Yeah,
but I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind the resonance going up, because all the idiots and negative entities, they can't stay on Earth much longer.
You might appreciate the nonprofit that I run. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Barefoot Is Legal, but barefootislegal.org.
Yeah, I'm going to have to write that down, barefootislegal.org. Because people don't know, you know, especially if you're having a bad day. Go outside barefoot, put your feet on the ground. It doesn't matter if it's dirt or grass.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook, you could find us on there as well. But I got the 60-second buzzer, so I have 60 seconds left in the three-hour show. I'm on 9 p.m. to midnight Monday through Thursday. So if you want to try back again tomorrow, Kristen, we'll have a different co-host. We'll have a bunch of other stuff to go on as well. So,
okay, 9 p.m. tomorrow, same time, same sandbox?
Yes. It's just that, okay, that at the stroke of midnight, this show goes off, whether I'm talking in mid-sentence or not.
Okay, but for everybody out there listening, just don't give up. There's more of us than there are of them.
Right. So
thank you.
I'll go ahead and take it from here. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Kristen. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to that handrail, keep home alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. I am Boots.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.